This is a time when we are being called upon by our leaders, by the Maharaja, to unite. Because after all, we have a common ground, we have a common mission, and we also have a common opponent as well too.
Doctors, numb to daily disaster, deal with what is likely to be one of the most distressing scenes they will ever encounter. A busload of children hit in this airstrike. The Western-backed Saudi-led coalition responsible, offering no apology. This was a legitimate military operation, they said, in accordance with international humanitarian law.
We protect Saudi Arabia, would you say they're rich? And I love the king, King Solomon, but I said, King, we're protecting you. You might not be there for 2 weeks without us. You have to pay for your military.
Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him, says that I, like many Islamic scholars and sympathetic personalities in the Islamic Ummah, announce that any statement or action which fuels the fire of discord among Muslims, any insult to the sacred beliefs of each one of the Muslim denominations, and any act of takfirism, meaning calling somebody else a kafir, against Islamic denominations equals serving the camp of atheism. It's equivalent to doing kuf and polytheism and shirk and betraying Islam. And all of these things are haram. Let us turn to the Ahlul Bayt themselves and see for how we should be viewing and acting with the Ahlul Sunnah. I want to just mention tonight two traditions which I think are very eye-opening for us. And anybody who calls themselves a lover of the Ahlul Bayt, they really need to study these. The first tradition is reported in the book Al-Kafi. It's between Zurara and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Zurara was one of the greatest companions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He was one of the fuqaha of the Ahlul Bayt. However, this issue of how it is that a Shia should view a Sunni was something that wasn't crystal clear for him. He too was confused about this issue. So one time, he engages in a discussion with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And he puts forward this claim that the only believer and the only person who qualifies as being a Muslim is somebody who accepts your wilaya, who is a Shia, and everyone else is a kafir. This is the claim that he's making, he's presenting to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. How is it that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam corrects his belief? He goes to the Quran. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخِرَ سَيِّئًا إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلَةً وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. In the Quran, mu'mineen are of different levels. There's different levels of understanding and awareness for the mu'mineen. There's some, for example, in the Quran, خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. They are trying their best with respect to performing some acts of goodness, but they're performing some actions which are evil as well too. Imam al-Islam is trying to invite Zurara to think and ponder what is the message of the Quran. And he explains very clearly to him that Zurara, when it comes to paradise and hell, is not a simple equation. No, there's something beyond that. There's room for people to grow. There's room for people to understand that people have a lack of awareness and understanding. And you cannot make such a clear-cut division between those who accept our wilaya and those who don't. This is tradition number one. Now, tradition number two is regarding the matter of eating from the food of the Ahlul Sunnah. This tradition is reported from the fifth Imam alayhi salam. One of his companions asks him about buying cheese from the bazaar. Now we have to understand the context of this tradition. Imam Bakr alayhi salam was living in Medina, and the majority of the people who live in Medina are not those who are Shia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He asks him about buying cheese from the bazaar. Now the Imam alayhi salam explains some things to him about what is halal and what is haram. But the point I want to focus in on is this one line from the Imam alayhi salam. He says the following, he says, Wallahi, I swear by God, إِنِّي لَأَعْتَرِضُ السُّوقِ, I myself go to the market, فَأَشْتَرِي بِهَا اللَّحْمَ وَالسَّمْنَ وَالْجُبُنَ I myself buy from there, I buy meat, and I buy butter, and I buy cheese. Wallahi, he goes on to say, Wallahi, I swear by God, مَا أَذُنُّ كُلَّهُمْ يُسَمُّونَ هَذِهِ الْبَرْبَرُ وَهَذِهِ السُّودَانِ He says that I see in that bazaar that there's some people coming from foreign lands. People maybe who just have found out about Islam. And I even think that perhaps they did not slaughter the animal with saying Bismillah. Maybe they're not aware of those rulings. The Imam alayhi salam is saying this. But yet I still go and buy the meat, the cheese and the butter from them. Now if we are followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, then shouldn't we follow them even when it comes to this matter as well too? Is there something like a secret sort of secondary fiqh that only special people know about when it comes to these things that we have to follow? No. Clearly, the ruling is the same as what the Maraji are telling us, that when it comes to buying, if it's a Muslim who gives it to you, then you can trust them and you don't have to question any further. Nabi Musa alayhi salam leaves his people to go engage in a special communion with his Lord. He's invited. The people wait for 30 days because that was the promised amount of time. Allah extends that for 10 more days. The people get impatient. Samiri takes advantage of the situation and unveils this calf which makes a special sound and they become attracted by that and they start to worship it. When Nabi Musa comes back, he's upset. And he questions Harun, his brother. He says that, I'm paraphrasing, that I put you in charge of these people. I expected that they would remain true to the cause. What happened to them? What is the reason that Nabi Harun gives for allowing this to happen and for not taking a harsher stance on the matter? He says that, I feared that you will tell me that فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ That I was the cause of there being a division and there being disunity among the Bani Israel. Meaning, for the sake of unity, I had to tolerate the presence of these calf worshippers among us. Otherwise, the entire ummah of your ummah, O Nabi Musa, that would have been split up. That's the level of importance that we have of unity. And after he gives that excuse, Nabi Musa accepts it as well too. And he does a dua for him as well too. That's the level of importance that we have of unity. Let us take these statements of our maraji'a and our leaders with great seriousness, and inshallah put them into action.